Well, welcome back, church. So good to see you guys, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning. Looks like you got some coffee in your system, ready to get to singing and praying and sitting under the Word of God. No better privilege than to do that together on the Lord's Day. Just a few announcements to go over. If you guys haven't figured it out already, if you weren't here this morning, if you just walked in, missed Sunday school, we do have ICR with us today. They will be returning this evening at 5:30 p.m. for our evening service. This is going to be a treat of an evening service, my friends. We are going to talk about the relationship between Scripture and dinosaurs. Now, how many of you guys like dinosaurs, by show of hands? And if you're not raising your hand, I'm questioning whether or not you're being fully honest. I mean, who hasn't seen Jurassic Park, right? I mean, anyways, I know I'm excited for it. Dr. Hebert's going to be back for round two, going to give us a biblical perspective on dinosaurs as well as some of the scientific evidence for how dinosaurs and a young earth view of creation are compatible with one another. So if you missed this morning, I hope you'll come this evening. If you're here this morning and you don't normally come in the evening services, I pray that you will strongly consider coming tonight, because it's going to be an absolutely wonderful and edifying time of worship and fellowship and just being able to hear a great message. There will be a question and answer time afterwards as well. So come prepared with any questions that you have about dinosaurs and how they relate to Scripture. I do have one more announcement regarding ICR. There will be a love offering during this service and during the evening service. Brother Robert wanted me to make that clear that today during our offering time, during corporate worship, and during the evening service as well, we want to be a blessing to ICR. If you feel led to give, please do so. We'll have opportunities to do that tonight. So 5:30 tonight, please be back for the ICR presentation on dinosaurs. A collection for Operation Christmas Child is set up in the foyer. I think we mentioned that during last week's worship, but in case you weren't here for that, we do have a setup right back towards the bathrooms. As you go down the hall past the foyer, you'll see that set up there. Let's continue to be a blessing, my friends, through Operation Christmas Child. This church has a history of doing a really good job with that ministry, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the Lord uses our efforts to be a blessing to people from all different parts of the world for their good and ultimately for God's glory. Last announcement that I have here is the faith class starting on August 24th. There's a sign-up sheet over there in the Welcome Center. Brother Robert has said, and I think this was also said last week, that it's important to actually sign up for the class just so that they can order the necessary workbooks and equipment that they'll need for that. It's a 12-week process that Brother Robert's designed. He's going to give an overview of visitation, of evangelism, of how you can care for the needs of others and use that as an opportunity for gospel witness. If you've never been a part of that class, it is highly recommended by both Brother Robert and those in our church who have been a part of it. So I pray that if that's something of interest to you, then you'd get signed up for that again. It starts on August 24th, and they will be meeting on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock p.m. So please prayerfully be considering joining that if you can, or if you haven't been able to do it in the past. I trust that God will use it richly in your spiritual life and for the good of others. Well, let us turn to our Lord in prayer as we begin our time of corporate worship. I trust the Lord has great things in store for us as we have Brother Cliff here to preach the word and to minister to us this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are amazed at how all of your creation has been designed to magnify your character and to lead us to worship you. Your word declares to us, as we heard Dr. Hebert say this morning, that the heavens are telling of your glory and that the expanse declares the work of your hands. And Lord, as many of us just had the privilege of learning together during the Sunday school hour, there is not a fabric in all the universe that doesn't declare the excellencies of your wisdom and power. And God, we are so grateful for your kindness to us, that you would create a world in which we can live, and that you would develop a vast universe that we can admire. Father, we thank you for giving us the privilege of hosting the Institute for Creation Research today. This morning, we pray for a great turnout tonight, that many souls would be richly ministered to, that you would equip Dr. Hebert to continue the work that he has already started. We thank you for his commitment and the commitment of ICR to showcase the compatibility between science and Scripture. And Father, we also thank you for Brother Cliff, We thank you for the Guadalupe Baptist Association and for their willingness to send faithful and godly men to minister your word to us while Brother Robert is away on vacation. Lord, I just pray you would supernaturally empower Brother Cliff to come this morning, that you would bless his preparation, that he would faithfully minister your word to our souls. And Father, that after leaving this place, none of us would be the same, that we'd be transformed by the sanctifying power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, that the rest of our lives might be lived in such a way that the world can see a marked difference in us as your ambassadors. So God, as we come to you now, we commit this time of corporate worship to you. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, together with your Holy Spirit, for your supreme glory. Amen. Let's stand together as we begin our time of corporate worship and song.
Good morning, church. We're going to begin by singing a doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above you, heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Sing amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God, we praise you. God, we praise you.
Praise God for all that He has done.
Praise God for all that He has done. Praise Him for He has overcome. The grave is beaten, love has won. Praise God, our Savior, Christ the Son. Amen. 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 God, we praise you. God, we praise you.
He's coming on the clouds.
Coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him.
So open up the gates before the King.
So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. Our God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him.
So who can stop the Lord Almighty? There's no one.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. Who can stop the Lord? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Oh, oh, oh. Bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, and every knee will bow before Him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, church, out of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. The writer says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, who is Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Church, our confession is in part what we just sang. He is the Lion of Judah, and He's the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world, for those He would call unto Himself. And our confession is not just that He paid the price on the cross and died. He rose again. And He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and He is interceding on our behalf. Scripture says that when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit within us prays on our behalf, and it goes through the Son to the Father. And we can be at peace with that. We can be encouraged by that we're not left here on our own. Christ knows our weaknesses, every weakness. He was tempted in every way that we are tempted, yet He overcame it. And so, as we continue to think on these things, let us sing before the throne of God.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, who whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me.
Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the one risen Son of God. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness. The great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the one risen Son of God.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, praise you and we thank you for the sweet privilege, the blessing and honor it is to come into your house. Lord, that we can be together again and worship you. We help us, Lord, to do so with all our heart and soul and mind. Lord, we're so grateful for Brother Cliff and Sister Leo coming. We ask, dear God, your anointing upon Brother Cliff this morning. He brings a message you've laid upon his heart. At the same time, Father, we're mindful of our pastor and Sister Laura may be traveling home this afternoon. We just ask your traveling mercy and blessing, watch care over them. Lord, we thank you for ICR and their ministry, for them coming here today to speak to us and minister. Lord, how we pray your blessings upon that ministry, that many may be drawn near to you, that the lost might be saved. Lord, we know as we worship you now and receiving these tithes and offerings, all is yours. Lord, we receive this portion, Lord, we give back and ask you to bless and use mightily for your namesake and your honor. And we pray all this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
The desire of our hearts today to worship you. There's no other like you. And Lord, as David wrote, our souls pant for you like the deer pants for water. It's not a passive thirst. It's a I'm dying without you kind of thirst. Lord, if we're not there yet, then get us there. To where without you, our life is basically death to us. Lord, if our hearts are not enthralled with you, if our minds are not blown by the thought of you, that we don't understand what it means for you to be our God. Please humble us where we need to be humbled. Graciously bring us close to you. And Lord, bless Brother Cliff as he comes to open the word before us. Lord, give him the Spirit's wisdom within him as he comes. And Lord, let not a single person leave this place without being moved closer to you by your Spirit. Lord Jesus, we pray these things in your precious, magnificent name. Amen.
It's my privilege to be with you this morning. I appreciate Brother Robert's confidence in me to give me this opportunity. And it's always a joy and a delight for Lil and me as we come to worship with you. Sometimes we've just been here, and sometimes I've been privileged to preach for you. Lil is Georgia Keith's sister, so we've visited family here. And it's just always so encouraging to gather with such a strong, vibrant, energetic congregation. I have the opportunity to be in a lot of churches across South Texas, and yours is one of the strongest, and it's a delight to be with you this morning. Someone has said that we are either in a crisis, or coming out of a crisis, or going into a crisis. Now, my personal experience doesn't absolutely confirm that 100%. I've had a lot of days devoid of crisis, but they seem to be pretty consistent. Crises come. And perhaps you're not in a crisis right now, but our country certainly is. The coronavirus has declined, but the Delta variant is surging, and the political rhetoric surrounding it continues to intensify. Law and order is under attack, and our southern border is in chaos. We can go on and on, and all that without mentioning foreign affairs. Iran wants to destroy our ally Israel, and Russian hackers are still active, and China steals our intellectual property and threatens our ally Taiwan. And on top of that, recent surveys show that church involvement has dropped below 50%. For the first time since statistics have been kept and polling began. And nobody knows the untold personal crises that are going on in individual lives. Perhaps some here today are in a crisis. Someone has said that we never have more faith in a crisis than we had before the crisis. Now, we may go through the crisis and emerge with a stronger faith and greater faith, but going in, all we've got is what we've got. So I've always thought in terms of faith being like a reservoir that we can draw on when moments of crisis come, and that our task really in days of peace and comfort is to be building that reservoir, drawing near to God and being strengthened so that when the crisis comes, we have the faith to sustain us in it. So how's your faith? Are you ready for the next crisis? The writer of Hebrews gives us sound advice for preparing for a crisis and for going through a crisis. I was encouraged that the scripture was read from Hebrews 4, verse 14, as the writer's encouraging those Jewish Christians to hold fast to their confession of faith. But the word of wisdom that I find from the writer of Hebrews for this morning is in chapter 12, verse 3. What do we need to do in a crisis and in preparing for a crisis? Verse 3 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. No matter what's happening in our lives, no matter what's going on in the world around us, this is the best advice. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We desperately need that advice, don't we? And the first recipients of this letter, the ones to whom the writer of Hebrews was addressing this concern, were in a crisis. They had been through a crisis. They were Jewish Christians, people who had come out of a Jewish background, trusted Jesus as their Savior. They'd experienced persecution, and more was on the way. And some of them were beginning to think, it would really be better for me to go back to my Jewish roots. The Christian faith was this unrecognized sect in the Roman world. The Jewish religion was accepted. Be safer back there, they may have thought. And so the writer of Hebrews is writing to them to encourage them to hold fast in their faith in Jesus, not to turn away, not to forsake. And in that, he encourages them with the remembrance of those who've gone before. We're all familiar with chapter 11. Tries to inspire them with the listing of those we call the roll call of faith. And then he begins chapter 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. So how do we fix our eyes on Jesus? How do you keep your focus on Him? Let me offer four suggestions this morning. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus by focusing on His incarnation. You know, usually it's only at Christmas time that we think about Emmanuel, and we sing that song, Emmanuel. In Matthew 1, the angel speaking to Joseph, encouraging him to take Mary as his wife, quotes from Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. We keep our eyes focused on Jesus by focusing on His incarnation. Jesus was God in human form. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, Colossians 2:9, for in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Jesus' incarnation is foundational to everything that we believe about our faith. He is God, one with the Father and the Spirit in the Trinity. In his little book, The Knowledge of the Holy, A.W. Tozer says that all that God is does all that God does. There is no division between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is unity in diversity there, but there is oneness. And Jesus is part of that. And Tozer goes on in that little book outlining the attributes of God, talks about these things that we believe to be true about God from Scripture. He is self-existent. He is self-sufficient. He is eternal. He is infinite. He is immutable. You've used that word this week, haven't you? He never changes. He is immutable. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He's transcendent. He is omnipresent. He's wise and faithful, good, just, gracious, love. Just to mention a few, those that Tozer talks about, the attributes of God. And this is who Jesus is. All of this in the flesh. God is Jesus in the flesh. And if we take away His deity, all we have left is either a liar or a lunatic. He claimed to be God. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus by focusing on His incarnation. He is God in the flesh. And we keep our eyes focused on Jesus by studying His life and following His teaching, don't we? That's probably the first thing that came to your mind when I raised the question. How do we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus? We read the Gospels. We study who He was and what He did and what He said. And we should follow His example. Acts 10:38 says He went about doing good. And we should go about doing good. Now, you understand that we don't do good in order to gain God's favor. We do good because we have already received God's favor. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's because we've experienced and received his favor that we then are empowered to do good works. Someone has said, God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbor does. And so we follow his example, and we should obey his commands. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Our greatest witness to the lost world is how we love each other and how we love them. Lil and I are blessed to have three children. Our youngest, our younger daughter, and her husband moved to Utah 5 years ago to help plant a church. And they live right in the middle of a very active Mormon neighborhood. About 80% of the population in the little town they live in are active Mormons. And so they've been developing friendships with their neighbors. And down the street, a young couple that we actually met when we were there helping them move in. They were walking their dog and pushing a stroller with their infant in it, Abby and KC. And they've gotten to be good friends with Abby and KC. Abby was in nursing school a few years ago, and KC was in the National Guard. He was deployed. She was caring for their infant and going to school. And then one day she called Rachel in tears because her child care had fallen through. And she was frantic about what she was going to do. And Rachel said, let me see if I can help you with that. I'll call you back in a few minutes. So she called one of the other ladies in their little church plant who lives in the same neighborhood, and they worked out an arrangement. Rachel homeschools her three boys, and so she worked out the arrangement that the other lady would keep Cannon in the morning and Rachel would keep him in the afternoon after she had finished homeschooling. So she calls Abby back, and she's explaining this to Abby. And one of the things that you might need to know to understand the context of this story is that Mormons are the best lost people on the planet. They make good neighbors, they're good workers, they're good people, but they don't know the right Jesus. And it's a works righteousness. And they're not trying to work to get saved because they believe they already are. They're trying to work for exaltation, to progress. But it's a works righteousness. And so it's all about how you appear. How do you appear? You have to appear righteous. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of life, they don't always help each other out a lot. And Abby reflected that in what she said to Rachel. Because Rachel explained to her what they were going to do and how they were going to take care of Cannon for her. And Abby said, well, Rachel, you don't understand. I can't pay you. And Rachel said, we know that. We're not asking you to. We're doing this because you're our friend and we love you. And Abby said, Rachel, nobody does this. Who are you people? Who are you people? Jesus people. Jesus people. We keep our eyes focused on Jesus by reflecting his presence in our lives, by loving each other and by loving others. And we keep our eyes focused on Jesus by focusing on his atonement. Now, if you didn't think I was headed toward his life and his teachings, you certainly thought I was headed toward his atonement. So here I am. We keep our eyes focused on Jesus by keeping our attention on the heart of the gospel, his atonement. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, Paul wrote, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he said, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the message of the gospel, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Those are two critical verses from Romans 3:23, 6:23. And in 10:9 and 10, he says, "And if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness," or right standing with God, "and with the mouth confession is made to salvation." And verse 13 says it again. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the gospel. And we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus by keeping our focus on this. So those thoughts and those verses and this reality brings me to the simple question, do you know him? Do you know him? Have you turned from sin and self and trusted Jesus and Jesus alone? If I can boil it down very simply, there are really just three things to sum up about the Christian faith. Number one, know him. Number two, become like him. And number three, make him known. So this morning, do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Are you becoming like him? And that's a critical question. Because a lot of times we make that first step and then we don't progress beyond that. We don't grow in that relationship with him. We don't become like him. And sometimes that's almost someone else's fault. A lot of times it's our fault. I'm reminded of the fellow who said, "The last thing the church did for me was hand me a towel when I came out of the baptistry." And what a sad commentary if we're not discipling new believers. Are you becoming like him? But perhaps a very critical question for most of us comfortable in our pew. Are you making him known? Are you making him known? Who's on your prayer list that's lost? Who are you seeking opportunities to share Jesus with? Do you know him? Are you becoming like him? Are you making him known? We're only able to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus as we spend time with him. Draw near to him. Allow his spirit to do that work of transforming us from the inside out to make us more like Jesus. But we need to make the deliberate, intentional commitment that we're going to keep our eyes focused on him, on his incarnation, on his life and his teaching, and on his atonement. And finally, I said there are four things I want to mention. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus by focusing on his return. You know, Jesus' return is not up for debate. It's a settled, biblical, theological fact. He's coming again. Are you ready for his return? Are you keeping your eyes fixed on that? Seminary professor asked his theology class one day, "What's the very least that you can believe and still consider yourself a Christian?" Well, there was a lively debate, or maybe it was just sharing, as each student in the class offered what they would list as the basic belief, the least that you could believe and still consider yourself a Christian. After some period of discussion, the professor said, "Well, let me share with you five things." So he shared his answer to the question. Number one, God made us. Number two, Jesus came from God. Number three, we killed him. Number four, God raised him up. Number five, he's coming again. Do you believe that Jesus is coming again? Now, I could preach another sermon just on that, but let me just share the implications of it, and then I'll focus on one of them briefly. It gives us peace and comfort. Focusing on Jesus' return gives us peace and comfort. It draws us into worship. It inspires excitement and anticipation, and it stirs us to evangelize. Let me just comment on the first one. It gives peace and comfort. I know you're familiar with Jesus' words to his disciples there just hours before his trial and crucifixion. John recorded it in chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In very clear language, Jesus said, I'm coming again. In the context of speaking words of comfort and encouragement to them, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm coming again. And down in verse 27 of that chapter, he went on to say, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. No matter what's going on, no matter what crisis you've been through or what crisis you're about to face, no matter what's happening in our private lives or in the world around us, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and we can experience that peace that passes understanding, because he's coming again. Perhaps some of us are old enough to remember when Johnny Carson was the host on the Tonight Show. I don't watch that much anymore. Matter of fact, not at all. But on one particular evening when Johnny Carson was the host, 30 years ago, maybe more, Dr. Billy Graham was the guest, and they're sitting there at the table talking. And like in most conversations, there came a lull. And in that lull in the conversation, Johnny leaned toward Dr. Graham and he said, Billy, don't you think that if Jesus came again, we'd just do him in like we did the last time? And Dr. Graham leaned toward Johnny and said, oh, Johnny, the first time Jesus came, he came in peace and love. When he comes again, he's coming in power, and nobody is going to do him in. Amen. Jesus is coming again. So what are you facing? What are you dealing with? What's going on in your life? What are you looking to? Where's your hope? Is it fixed on Jesus? Keep your eyes fixed on him. Amen. Let's pray. Holy and righteous God, eternal, everlasting Lord, we bow before you and we come in Jesus' name acknowledging that we have no right to stand in your holy presence but for his blood shed for our sin. And Father, we come before you confessing our desperate need. Keep our eyes fixed on him. And Father, I pray for myself and each one here that your Spirit would have the freedom to stir in our hearts and draw us closer to yourself. And Father, if there's even one here this morning who's never taken that step of turning from sin and self and trusting Jesus and Jesus alone, I pray that this would be the time. Today would be the day. And Father, for the one who may have done that but has never professed it publicly, today would be the day that they step out to proclaim before this body that Jesus is Lord. And Father, for all the rest of us who are trying to grow in your grace. Whatever we're facing, whatever crisis may be emerging, I pray, Father, for your Spirit to strengthen us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So, Father, we commit these moments to you in his name. Amen. As we sing an invitation hymn, I'll have the privilege, I assume, to stand here. If anyone is led to come forward, I recognize and understand that Sunday after Sunday invitations are given, and most folks are ready to get lunch. Most folks are thinking about what's coming next. Let's don't get in too big a hurry, because God may be doing business with someone sitting near you this morning, and our distraction with other things might distract them. How is he speaking to you? And I recognize, too, that Sunday after Sunday, most decisions are made right there where we sit or stand. And it's a matter of getting up from here and going out and living that decision. Not every decision is brought to the front. But perhaps there's something this morning that needs to be shared, a prayer request or a praise, or simply to come and proclaim Jesus is Lord. What's the Spirit lead you to do today while we stand and sing this invitation together?
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er us in no more at dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, promise. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Father, we thank you for this gathering time that you've given us today. And Lord, we pray that you would help us by the power of your Spirit in us to heed the wisdom that you gave to Brother Cliff and he gave to us, Lord, to keep our eyes fixed on you. We can't hope to be successful and growing in our walk with you, becoming more and more like you, if we aren't even looking at you, if we aren't seeking to be like you. Lord, let us turn our eyes upon you. Behold your wonder and your glory. Lord, again, we thank you for all of the blessing that you've poured out on us this morning through the presentations with ICR and just the general time of worship and remembrance and encouragement that you allow us to have. Lord, as we go, encourage us and empower us to walk in your ways. And Lord, then we pray as well that this evening, as we have another chance to hear from ICR, that all those in our community would be gathered here as well to hear the truth of your word and how it's not just isolated to Sunday mornings, but Lord, everything, all of creation declares your glory. So Lord, we ask these things, that you would be glorified. Amen. Amen. All right, church. Well, as we prepare to go, just a reminder, be sure if you haven't gone out there in the foyer and welcome Dr. Hebert and Bruce. If you don't know who Bruce is the fella at the table. He is a wonderful guy, so be sure you stop by and tell him hello. But be sure to look at the resources they've got. Be sure to come back later this evening, 5:30, for a different presentation on dinosaurs. It's going to be a great time. Other than that, as we go, we're going to sing the doxology together one more time.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above you, heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Church, you are dismissed.